this is the way it works. You go, a man meets a girl, and he's on the phone with her every day. Honey, I love you. Oh, you're the sweetest thing. He lives on this side of town. She lives on that side of town. And he said, I'll do anything for you. Oh, my goodness, I just love you with all my heart. I'll do anything. She said, well, why don't you come take me to dinner tonight then? He said, well, if it don't rain, I'll come. That's not the kind of friends you want, is it? Hey, it don't make it if it's raining, shining, sleet, or snow. If I tell you I'm going to take you to dinner, I'm going to take you. You know, if I'm a man of integrity. I mean, yeah, maybe if it's raining, shining, sleet, or snow, if it's sleet or snow, and we're just going to dinner, we might cancel that. But whenever there's something that you need somebody to come pray for you, and it don't make it, what happens? They show up. That's kind of like the other day. I don't do this very often. I have gone places to pray for people. But I had a man the other day call me, and he said, I can't come to you, but I want you to come to me. I said, okay, where are you? And he said, just across the Canadian border at Detroit. And I want you to come up here and pray for me. I loaded two men in my airplane, and we flew 5.5 hours, went to his house, prayed for him, spent a night in the hotel. The next morning, got in the airplane, flew 4.5 hours and come back. I don't do that much for people. But this man wanted me to do it. And I knew he thought in his heart that I was the best man of faith that he had ever seen in his life. And he was not going to be satisfied until I went and laid my hands on him in his own home. And I did that for that man. He died anyway, but I still did it for him. His wife wrote me a letter the other day after he passed away and said, you'll never know what that did to my husband. He said that night he was in excruciating pain until y'all paid for him. And after praying for him, he had a beautiful night, slept with no pain in his body. So said he was so grateful for that night of rest that God gave him. But a few weeks later, he went home to be with Jesus, 60 years old. I don't do that very much. You know, that took 2 days out of my life. 2 days out of my life. And two other men. Do you know very many men in your life that will get in an airplane, their own private airplane, and pay for all the expenses and fly all the way to the Canadian border from Texas just to pray for one man? There's not a lot of people do that, will they? But that man wanted me to come, so I went. I really expected him to get well, but he didn't. So who's in control? God. Did God know I went? Yes, he knew. He knew. He was right there with us. But friends sticks closer than a brother. Now then, in Proverbs 18:24, let's look at both this in the King James and the NLT about friends. Proverbs 18:24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Do you know you can have friends that will stick closer than your own flesh and blood? Sometimes that's true. Now let's look at it in the NLT. There are friends who destroy each other, but a real friend sticks closer than a brother. Have you ever had a friend that broke your heart? Sure, nearly everybody. You have to be very careful. I will have to say, I have never had a friend that broke my heart. But I'm going to tell you, I haven't had very many friends in my life. I have never had more than two or three men at any one time in my life that I considered, maybe up to three or four, but never more than three or four men at one time in my life that I considered to be a real friend. Now, I'm friends with everybody. You know, y'all know where I'm coming from. I'm talking about this kind of friend. I'm talking about the kind of friend I can call in the middle of the night and say, brother, I need this. And he said, I'll be right there. That's the kind of men I'm talking about. I never have more than two or three of those at a time. I'm very careful who I choose to be that kind of friend to. But I try to be friendly with everybody. Everybody. But that kind right there, there's not that many of them around. Now then, examples from God's Word on the soul ties between friends and bad soul ties. And let's go to 1 Samuel 18:1, and we're going to go through several scriptures here in 1 Samuel 18:1. And we're going to see what happens with people when you have a good soul tie and a bad soul tie in the same house with the same family. We'll see what happens here in 1 Samuel 18:1. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. Now see, here the scripture even uses the word soul. There's not a lot of these, but a joining together of your souls, here it really uses it. But, and it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan, that was the son, was knit with the soul of David. These boys were about the same age, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Now here's a friend that we're talking about in the book of Proverbs. These are real friends. And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Verse 3 and 4. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. I mean, when you run into somebody that you can love as deep as you love yourself, that's as deep a soul tie as you can commit when you love somebody as much as you love yourself. So that's what happened here between David and Jonathan. And you talk about a soul tie. They had made a soul tie, and it was a good soul tie. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was on him and gave it to David and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. In other words, he said, David, everything I got is yours. You can have anything. No problem. Now then, you know, I've had people like that in my life that anything they had that I needed, I could have it or use it. Have you had friends like that? Hey, if it's mine, you can have it, you know, whatever. It's kind of like me and my wife. Everything that's hers is mine, and everything that's mine's hers. Verse 5 and 6. And David went out, whithersoever Saul sent him, and he behaved himself wisely, and Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. And it came to pass as they came, when David was returning from the slaughter of the Philistines, that the women came out of all cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tambourines and joy and with instruments of music. Verse 7 and 8. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Now they don't realize what they're doing. And Saul was very angry. And the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000. Unto me, they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? Now then, right here, we're seeing a soul tie within a family going from a good soul tie to a bad soul tie. Saul and David is fixing to get into a bad soul tie, and you're going to see what's going to happen to the one that's responsible for changing this. Let's go on to the next two scriptures. And Saul eyed David from that day and forward, and it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul. Now, because he has broken his good soul tie and he's getting into unforgiveness toward David for what he's doing because of what these women are saying, he is changing from a good soul tie to a bad soul tie. And when he does, he opens the door to an evil spirit. And who sent that evil spirit? God. Who's in control? God. God knows everything. And it says, and it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house, and David played with his hand as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. Now then, this evil spirit had come upon David, I mean on Saul, so what can happen to you if you got an evil spirit ruling your life? You can kill somebody. Next verse. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite or kill David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. And Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him. and was departed from Saul. Now here, Saul has got the evil spirit. He's got an unholy soul tie now. He's created himself because he broke the holy soul tie with David and got into unforgiveness with David. God has sent a tormenting evil spirit, and now then that evil spirit in Saul is trying to kill David. But if you stay in that love walk where you're supposed to, what can the enemy do to you? He cannot touch you. Scripture is very clear that if you keep yourself holy, you keep yourself from evil, the evil one cannot touch you. 1 John 5:18. Now then, let's go on to the next, let's see, how many verses do we get? Yeah, let's go on down to verse 20. Therefore Saul removed him from him and made him his captain over 1,000, and he went out and came in before the people. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Because he was doing what he's supposed to be doing, keeping a good soul tie between him and Jonathan, and obeying God and everything. Said, wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. Now, if you obey God, God says he will make your enemies be at peace with you. So you don't have to be afraid of nothing as long as you're obeying God. Because who's protecting you? God. You know, he's the one that's going to take care of you. But all Israel and Judah loved David because he went out and came in before them. Next verse. And Saul said to David, behold, my elder daughter, Merv, her will I give thee to wife. Only be thou valiant for me and fight the Lord's battles. For Saul said, let not mine hand be upon him, but let the hand of the Philistines be upon him. Now, here's this guy that says he loves David. He's going to send him out. And what does he want to happen to David when he goes to battle? He wants him to be killed. He wants him to be killed. That's that evil spirit in him when he broke that holy soul tie. And David said unto Saul, who am I, and what is my life or my father's family in Israel that I should be son-in-law to the king? 19 and 20. But it came to pass at the time when Saul's daughter should have been given to David that she was given unto Abdiel the
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled Holy and Unholy Relationships, Soul Ties, in its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.